We're looking today at Psalm 125. That's Psalm 125. It's the sixth psalm in the series of psalms called the Song of Degrees, or the Songs of Ascent. This is number six in that series. And it's a very simple psalm. It's only five verses. It starts with trusting, and it ends with peace. And those two things are always linked together. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, verse 1. And it concludes with, peace shall be upon Israel. So we start with trust, we end with peace in this psalm. And you can really visualize the Israelites singing this psalm as they ascended up towards Jerusalem, towards the mountains of Jerusalem, heading up to the city to worship on the holy feast day. Also, as we look at it, we'll see that there's some prophetic aspects to it. So it starts off with, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. So we get the mountains again brought before us. And this has been a bit of a theme in this series of Psalms, where we get the mountains. They were not to look to the mountains for their help, but look to the Lord. They were not to be discouraged by the mountains that were before them. But then often the Lord has described himself as a mountain, that he's secure and steadfast. And here we get that, is that the Lord is as Mount Zion, and that cannot be moved, but abides forever. And the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. And just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Now, Zion is the place of the king's rule. And, you know, the Lord has surrounded Israel with its protection in the past. But how can we understand this psalm now when we think of the fact that all the dispersions that the people of Israel have experienced and the destructions of Jerusalem and so on? Well, because of their disobedience, God said that he would wipe the city clean as a man wipes a plate and so on. We get that in Jeremiah. We see them dispersed into Assyria and then of course, the Judea. Dispersed into Babylon, and then we see them conquered by the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, and then the final dispersion throughout Europe and Asia, and now just coming back since 1948, and there they are now back in the land, yet to experience another great desolation in the not too distant future. So how can we understand this? The mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Well, it's prophetic. That's the only way we can understand it. And we get a prophecy in this regard in Zechariah chapter 2, where Zechariah says, "For I saith the Lord, I will be under her, that is under Jerusalem, a wall of fire round about, and it will be the glory in the midst of her. He will be in her midst, and he will be the glory round about." Now, Zechariah was written after the Babylonian captivity, and after they were just in the process of rebuilding the second temple. And now, since then, of course, we have the Roman destruction of Jerusalem. So this must look to the future. And we get that in chapter 2 of Zechariah, verse 11 and 12, "And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. The Gentiles will be converted after the great tribulation. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again." And so we get this over and over and over in the prophets. So we have to understand this prophetically. Our psalm today, Psalm 125. What's also interesting about this is, in connection with the mountains, is that they are surrounding Jerusalem. And we think of Jerusalem, when we think of Jerusalem, actually it's a city built on mountains. In fact, three mountains in particular come before us: Olivet, Moriah, and Zion. With Olivet, we think of the Lord Jesus, that he would often resort to Olivet to pray. You know, Gethsemane actually is at the foot of Mount Olivet. And the Lord often met there with his disciples. He gave the so-called Sermon on not the Sermon on the Mount, but the Olivet Discourse from that mountain. That is the prophetic discourse that we find in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke chapter 21. And of course, the Lord Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, from the Olivet Mountain, in Acts chapter 1. And he will descend, he will come back from heaven to Olivet. It says that in Zechariah 14, that his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. And then we get Moriah. Moriah is the mountain in Jerusalem upon which the temple is built. It's the same spot where Abraham offered Isaac up as a sacrifice on Moriah. And it's there that Solomon built his temple. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Upon the very spot where the father in picture offered up the son, is upon this spot that the temple is built. Now, there's a lot in that statement, and but it's a picture. It's a picture. It's the church, the assembly, the true temple of God is built upon the death and the resurrection of Christ, the Father offering his son up as a sacrifice for sinners and raising him again from amongst the dead. And so that's Moriah. Then we get Zion. Of course, Zion was the place where David had his house, where he ruled from. It's the place of the reign of the king of David, and the various sons of David reigned from Zion. And, you know, Zion is the seat of Christ's royal supremacy on the earth as the son of David. In a coming day, the Lord Jesus will reign from Zion. You know, people speak of Zionists and so on. As we believe that Israel will come, will be again blessed as a nation in the land. But then verse 3 and 4, in the first part of verse 5, it speaks here of the judgment of the wicked, lest the wicked should put forth their hands unto iniquity. And we know that Jerusalem is now and will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the Lord Jesus comes. But there will be this separation between the workers of iniquity. The wicked will be judged and the righteous separated from that. And this is very much a theme in the Psalms. And we get this, of course, in Psalm 1. We get the seed of the scornful and the place of the wicked. And then we get the righteous who doesn't sit with them or abide with them. They're separate. The wicked and the unrighteous, the unholy and the godly are distinguished in Psalm 1 as they are here, and they will be in judgment. You know, the Lord gave the parable in Matthew 13 that the angels will come forth and separate the tares and the wheat. He will separate them and bind the tares into bundles, and they will be burned. He will take all out all things that offend and do iniquity, and then shall the Son of Man shine forth in his kingdom. But then the psalm ends with peace. Peace shall be upon Israel. You know, the Apostle Paul quotes that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. Peace upon the Israel of God. And what Paul is saying there in Galatians chapter 6 verse 16, he's not referring to the church as being Israel. And people use this and say that we are Israel, that we are not Israel. We're the church. What he's speaking of in Galatians chapter 6 verse 16, he says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace upon them. Okay? That's the believers from amongst the Gentiles. And mercy upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. Peace and mercy upon the Israel of God. That is the believing Jews. The believing Jews. The true Jews. Because the true Jews were the believing Jews. And the false teachers were trying to make the Gentiles into Jews by having them be circumcised. And so it's what Paul's saying here is exactly the opposite of what people try to twist it into. So peace upon Israel and mercy upon Israel, the Israel of God, and so shall it be in a soon coming day. But as far as the believer now is concerned, we trust in the Lord and we have peace with God. Amen.